I hope you enjoyed the Cheesedales. We ought to be grateful that God has called younger missionaries to go to the field. And as I've often said, according to Acts 1:8, we have the responsibility of reaching our Jerusalem, our Judea and Samaria, our community, these United States. But we appreciate missionaries who help us to fulfill going to the uttermost parts of the world. And that's what a family like the Cheesedales accomplished for us. In talking to Jason, we got to discussing this video that he was familiar with that his board put out years ago. And it's similar to what he and his wife are doing, what Lincoln are doing, trying to start with a tribe and just starting with the language. And ethos does not allow you to preach or to teach until you have the language down, until you can preach in their language. So Jason was looking forward when he goes back to starting that preaching and teaching ministry. But let me encourage you to pay attention to this and really get the message of what it's all about. And I think you'll really be a blessing. So let's show the video at this point. What they didn't show, and I think I remember this, and I forget, but that tribe, they began to organize. And okay, there's a second video, and you'll have to come back. Bring your tithes and offering, and we'll. The second video is going to share how they become missionaries in their area. Now let me just tie it all together, and I want to read some passage that in our study last spring of this, the first missionary journey, and we're in Acts 14. It's the one reporting home. And if you are using the NIV Bible in front of you, if you need a pew Bible, it's page 783. And if you'll just turn to that, Acts 14, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 19. And when's the last time that your faith in Jesus Christ, you just spontaneously rejoiced in God's grace and mercy? And if we're not careful, we get used to it, don't we? And what Jason and Lincoln are doing is exactly what those missionaries did. Going to a group of people who have never heard the gospel, learning their language, and then beginning the process of sharing with them. And I think this is what the Apostle Paul demonstrated for us in the book of Acts, his first missionary journey. I love the book of Acts, and I love this because if we're going to be a Bible-preaching and a Bible-believing church, and I believe we are, then we want to follow biblical principles, do we not? Because you know as well as I do that we live in a world today that does not know Jesus by and large. And yet here we have the answer to man's sin problem. We have the answer to, I'm fully convinced that the Bible has the answer to mankind's problems today. In our country as well as the world as a whole. And I trust that as we think about Jason and Lincoln, as we think about other missionaries, and we think about the support that we have the opportunity to participate in, I hope that we'll be burdened to share the gospel. And as Acts 1:8 reminds us, it starts in our Jerusalem, which in our culture means right here in Stafford. Then it branches out beyond our state to our Judea and Samaria, and then to the othermost parts of the world. We're going to pick up the second missionary journey beginning next week and continue our study in Acts. But I want to share this and just tie this in, and you'll notice the central idea I've given you there is that praying Christians rejoice in hearing of ministry victories. Are we praying Christians? Are we a praying church? Do we rejoice when someone comes to the Lord as their personal Savior? Do we rejoice when we see what the missionaries are doing around the world and we can be a small part of that? And we just see the importance of, you know, and we ask ourselves the question, do you pray and rejoice when you hear what God is doing? And do we pray with expectancy? So often we pray, but we don't anticipate expecting God to fulfill. And as you think about Paul and Barnabas returning to Antioch, Syria, and reporting, and that's where I got the idea, the thought here, reporting home. And you're going to see in the last verses of this chapter, they're returning home. They're returning to the home church. Barb and I went to Houston for about 8 days to visit our grandchildren, their ages 6 months, 2, 4, and 6. And I said on the plane coming home, we're going to need a vacation to recover from this. It's always nice to travel, but it's always nice to come home, isn't it? And you can imagine Paul and Barnabas, their hearts just overwhelmed with what God has done. And they're returning to the home church to report. And if you read some of the previous verses in this chapter, and we'll not go over those, but we see just before we get to this section where we're going to start reading that Paul has been stoned and left for dead. And yet the Holy Spirit revives them and they begin the preaching and teaching. Follow me as I begin in chapter 14 of Acts, verse 19. But Jews from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. It's really laughable sometimes what we consider to be religious persecution, isn't it? In these United States, you think about what Paul went through here, but it never stopped him. You pick up in verse 20, but when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city. And on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel, now notice three important areas here. They preached the gospel to that city, as they had done in every city, had made many disciples, preaching the gospel, making disciples, helping new believers grow in the Lord, grow in the Word. They returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch. Verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, preaching and teaching, strengthening. If you're not a growing Christian, then you're not in the phase of your Christian experience that God wants you to be. When you stop growing, when you stop learning, you stop growing. And that's why the preaching and the teaching, small group Bible studies such as Sunday school, 9:30 hour, and such as church, and that's the importance, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God, and when they had appointed the elders. So you see, up to this point, they preached, they taught, they strengthened the believers, and they appointed elders. They organized the churches, because you'll notice all throughout these missionary journeys, their goal was to plant churches, to find new believers, and to start a church. They say that every day there are hundreds of churches closing their doors in these United States. And there are a number of groups planting new churches, but they say the number of churches been planted is not keeping up with the churches that are closing. And so it says that they appointed elders. They organized in every church with prayer and fasting. They committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So we see the importance. They majored in establishing and the local churches. They were grounded, the believers, in the Word of God, and they organized. They were faithful in their service to the Lord. And you see that, first of all, in the verses we just read, they preached the gospel and made disciples. They taught many. Secondly, they strengthened. They confirmed the believers. They strengthened the believers in the things of Christ, and they encouraged, they exhorted, they encouraged them. Now, all of us have the responsibility of continuing to grow, to be strengthened in the Lord, so that we might be an encouragement to others who need to be encouraged by the gospel. And thirdly, they organized churches. And listen, folks, we need to keep organizing churches. We need to be part of, in our missions program, of starting churches in Virginia, in the USA. Just as Ronaldo, we're supporting my morning Bible study, we're taking up just a faith promise offering as people feel led. And in the past 3 or 4 months, we've sent $450 to Ronaldo over in Culpeper, who's planting a Hispanic church. And our goal is to be able to support him for about $100 a month, just as we are supporting the Cheesedales. And so you see that they were preaching, teaching, and organizing. And then when you get to the section here, in the last few verses of this chapter, notice, and you'll just notice how simple the outline is. Paul and Barnabas reported to the home church, their home. You can imagine the excitement. They've been about 1 year away. The first missionary journey was about 1 year. It covered 1,400 miles by foot and by boat. So now they're coming home. And you'll see in these verses that they returned to Antioch. Antioch's Syria. Antioch, Pisidia was a different. But they returned to the home church, which you read about earlier in the scriptures. In chapter 13, the first three verses, the church at Antioch ordained them, commissioned them, and sent them out. And so you see they return to Antioch in verse 26. They report in Antioch, verse 27. And then they rest in Antioch. We don't know how long they stayed there. We know that in their hearts they're going to begin a second missionary journey soon. Look at verse 24. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, and that's Antioch, Syria, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, as we did 2 weeks ago with the Cheesedales, they came home to report. They came home to report to their supporting churches. They came home to get some rest and to prepare to go back. And when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, just exactly we saw in the film, how they moved into an area, shared the gospel. And would to God that we would get that excited still about our salvation and how great our salvation is. God is good. Amen. And then you'll notice how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and they remained no little time with the disciples. They stayed for a while to get some rest and relaxation and to prepare to return. I trust as you leave today that your prayer will be, God, let's pray that Rock Hill Baptist Church will be a church that has a burden to reach our community. a burden to see new churches started and to be a part of that throughout these United States. And that we might have a burden to see missionaries go and take the gospel. The scriptures teach that every nation, every tribe deserves to hear the gospel. And that ought to be a burden in our hearts as well. You'll notice the conclusion that I've written in the notes there. How long the apostles had been away is difficult to determine, but it's estimated that this first missionary journey was approximately 2 years. The church had committed the missionaries to the grace of God, supported them in prayer, and trusted the Lord to extend His church through their work. We're a small church, but that doesn't matter. God rewards us for our faithfulness. Not for how big we are, but are we faithful with what we have? Are we faithful in what we're doing? Let's pray that God will grow our church spiritually as well as numerically. Let's pray that God will bless us as we have a burden and continue with that burden to support missionaries home and abroad. As one writer said, we need to take the gospel across the street, around the world. Amen. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Let me ask you as I close in prayer to just, if you would just pray for yourself, and let's pray personally that God will just light a fire in our hearts. And regardless of what we think others are doing, let's pray that God will ignite a fire in our hearts that'll burn throughout our church, our community. And God will help us to be a Bible preaching, a Bible teaching, a Bible organized, and faithful to God's call. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the truth that we can open in this book, and just as the film emphasized the importance of the Word of God and how the Word of God brings conviction to people's lives and people's hearts, and just the change, the transformation that can take place when one realizes that their sins can be forgiven. And I pray that we'll be a church that will work together to fulfill the responsibility that our study in the book of Acts challenges us with. Help us to be a growing church. Help it to start within our own lives personally. We ask this in Jesus' name, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.